Hey everybody, this is Here's Me Podcast, episode 6 already, crazy enough. Mike Petrullo, most of you know by now, but we are reading through Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Really cool book. Premise is what the rich teach their kids about money that the poor and middle class do not. And this, the lesson today, he calls them, we're in chapter 6, or lesson 6 as Robert calls them. The one for today is kind of cool. And I think it kind of overarches the whole premise of the book. It says, work to learn, don't work for money. And right away, before we even dig into his words, I think this is probably the best takeaway so far, at least for me, of the entire book, of something you can do right now, today. Don't have to change your job. Don't have to do anything different, but just change your perspective, right? So if you're learning from the people around you, say it's a coworker, say it's very successful or trying to be, say it's your boss, somewhere, somebody in the structure, if you have a bigger company, somewhere along the line, you know, learn from them. So, you know, even better if you can sit down and have a meeting with them, but if they're putting out any kind of, you know, teaching information, you know, that's cool. And sometimes guys, like what Rich Dad said in the beginning of this book, that no one had ever asked him, right? You probably have a really successful person somewhere up your company branch that has never been even asked, like, hey, what would you recommend? Like, what can I do to be successful? And for whatever reason, fear, people think that they'd be rude or whatever, and they might receive it well. If at the very least, you're putting yourself out that you're trying to learn, and that's always a good thing too, right? So, yeah, what I'm trying to say is it doesn't cost you anything. Whatever you're doing right now, if you shift that mindset a little bit into, oh, I'm not just going to work to get a paycheck, I'm going to work to learn something. And I know some of you probably listening are already like, well, I don't have anything to learn from my boss. And, you know, that even could be true, but that doesn't mean there's not something about your work, your job. If you're part of a chain, they've done something right? For them to even exist in this, you know, this capitalist society, they've done something right. So just kind of be looking around, because if you're learning all the time, now we're getting paid to go to school, guys. And I think once you hit that mindset, as long as you're following some of the things Robert said and start building your assets, you're going to be so much more happy to even have a job, especially right now with everything going on. So yeah, I just want to get out that first out of the way. One other thing is we're going to see if we got any definitions here real quick first. So it doesn't look like any definitions today, but one other thing I wanted to say for you guys, something we touched on earlier in the readings, but I wanted to kind of reemphasize it, is a lot of what some of this sounds like when we're talking about huge, you know, we're talking about success and wealth. I think a lot of people, you know, like imagine the huge house and the big family and the boat. And I'm not preaching for that, guys. If that's where you want to go, absolutely. Let's get there. Let's have that be your goal. But again, if you go back to that definition of wealth that we used earlier, it was if you stopped working right now, how many days could you go? You know, how long could you live on what you have if you stopped working right now? And that's not to say support that mansion lifestyle. If it is, and that's your goal, great. But you could have a cabin in the woods with a small garden, you know, something where you have enough, you've built a little, you know, space for yourself to be self-sufficient. To me, you're just as wealthy there than if you're a CEO at the top of the pyramid of some corporate structure. I truly believe that. So I just kind of wanted to reiterate that, because I know if we talk about money a lot, we got to be careful not to drift too much towards the greed side, which we find out so much of the time is where people fall on their face, right? So I wanted to mention that. Remember, wealth means different things to different people. And whatever your wealth is, that's where we want to go. Cool. So I'm going to get right into the summary here for Robert. And again, this is lesson 6, work to learn, don't work for money. Robert was interviewed a few years ago in Singapore by a journalist who, over the course of their conversation, revealed that she wanted to become a best-selling author like him. But her novels, which everyone said were excellent, never went anywhere. Robert suggested that she take a course in sales training. That offended the reporter, who said she had a master's in English literature and didn't see how learning to sell would help her. In fact, she hated salespeople. When Robert pointed out that he's a best-selling author, not a best-writing author, she replied she would never stoop so low to learn to sell, and left the interview. I really kind of like that idea. And I was talking to my friend Primo today at work. And what Primo made a point of saying is everything has sales, right? Everything that you do, you're selling something. You're doing some kind of service. If you're working, right, you're doing some kind of service in exchange for something. And that's what sales really is, right? There's some kind of exchange going on. If you're getting money for something, you've sold either your talent, your art. You know, when you think of salespeople, you just think of like the guy on the car lot, right, trying to sell you a car. But that's not really what sales is. Sales is everything. And we made a point about the greatest, you know, guitarist in the world. I believe it was yesterday. It might have been the day before with Brandon. It was that. I said, made an example, and who knows, but I said the greatest guitarist in the world, maybe nobody knows him, right? He's sitting in a small town somewhere playing guitar for a small group of people, and he was just never marketed. And I'm not saying whether he's succeeded at life or not. My point of making it is just talent alone is not enough, right? We have to be able to sell ourselves. And some of us just, you know, that's not your forte, and you're going to just have to get somebody on your team in order to do so. And that's fine. Right? We talked about that. Surround yourself with people that can help you to succeed and are better at you at things. So cool. I just really liked that one. So I wanted to kind of expand on it. Yeah. Robert pointed out he's a best-selling author, not a best writing author. Kind of powerful. So he says there are talented people all around us who struggle financially, just like that reporter. In the words of one business consultant, they are one skill away from greatness. What that means is that too many of us specialize. If we would learn and master just one more skill, our income would jump exponentially. When it comes to money, the only skill most people know is to work hard. Right. And, you know, you can make a living off of that, but we're trying to take it to the next level, right? So he's saying, like, we need to add on a couple more skills. If that reporter took some courses in ad copywriting as well as sales, then got a job in an advertising agency, she would learn how to get millions in free publicity, a skill she could put to use turning her next novel into a bestseller. So that's why Robert's saying you want to be well-rounded. It's not to say never work on something, you know, to be more of a master of it, but don't let the other stuff slide. Just because you're focused on one thing, you really like to do it, just keep challenging yourself to learn new things. Because some of those things, you know, you're going to have to use discipline and not motivation to get through, but that's fine. You know, just do them when you're, you know, when you got that extra time, but do them no matter what. So he says, when Robert came out with his first book, If You Want to Be Rich and Happy, Don't Go to School, a publisher suggested he change the title to The Economics of Education. But Robert knew that title wouldn't sell. Even though he is pro-education, he chose a title that was controversial because he knew it would get him on more TV and radio shows, and it worked. It's like all those BuzzFeed headlines, right? Five things that doctors hate and stop doing this now, you know, stuff like that. When he graduated from the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in 1969, he was hired as a third mate on a Standard Oil tanker fleet. The pay was okay, but it came with 5 months vacation a year. It's pretty cool. It couldn't have been a good career. It could have been a good career, but after 6 months, Robert quit to join the Marine Corps and learn how to fly. Rather than specialize, as so many do, including poor dad, Robert sought out new skills. Rich Dad encouraged that, telling him to learn a little bit about a lot. That's why Robert and his friend Mike had worked so many jobs growing up to gain a variety of experiences. Poor Dad didn't understand the decision to leave the Standard Oil job. He thought Robert had gone to school to become a ship's officer. But what Rich Dad knew was that Robert went to school to learn about international trade. But he joined the Marine Corps to learn how to lead troops. That leadership skill would serve him well in whatever business lay ahead. In 1963, Robert resigned his commission and took a job at Xerox in sales, even though he was a shy person. In fact, it was because he was a shy person that he took the job. That's one of those, like, ties into the do something every day that makes you afraid. Because a lot of these are, you know, things that if you overcome it, you're going to feel that much more, you know, powerful and accomplished. Or they were silly fears to begin with, right? So yeah, I don't know who's that's attributed to, that quote, but it's something along the lines of do something that scares you every day, or something you're afraid of every day. I like that. So it was because he was a shy person that he took the job. Robert had one of the best sales training, Xerox had one of the best sales training programs in the country. And there, Robert overcame his fear of knocking on doors and being rejected. When he became one of the consistently highest producing salespeople there, he left. Leaving on top, guys. That's probably another one to kind of pick out of this. Robert launched his first company in 1977, selling wallets manufactured in the Far East and shipped to a New York warehouse. It was time to test his wings. Today, he still does business internationally. Most people work hard to get a secure job, focusing on pay and benefits in the short term. What they should do is seek work that will teach them the skills they'll need, like we talked about. And I like to call it double dipping, right? You're getting paid to work and do your job and learn. And then some of us, when we have jobs that are on downtime, you can use that to even learn an extra thing. And then now you're triple dipping. And people looking to where they're headed or just are people looking to where they're headed or just until their next paycheck? In this book, The Retirement Myth, Craig S. Karpel writes of the many challenges awaiting most people in retirement and the frightening picture of what most people's reality will be. Robert recommends a long view. Instead of simply working for money and security, take a second job to learn a second skill. Many will resist this because they aren't ready for change, but it's like going to the gym. You might have to talk yourself into starting, but you'll be glad you did when the workout is over. I love that. If you're unwilling to work to learn something new and instead insist on becoming highly specialized within your field, make sure the company you work for is unionized. Your specialized skills may be useless outside your field otherwise. Robert asks his students how many of them can make a better hamburger than McDonald's. Most raise their hands. But the reason McDonald's is making millions and they aren't... Sorry, let me reread that. Because the reason McDonald's is making millions and they aren't is because McDonald's is excellent at business systems. That's like the guitarist thing I was kind of talking about. McDonald's doesn't have the best hamburger, but it's pretty darn good, and their marketing and what he calls here a business system is on point, right? And we talked about them and their original owners, about the real estate. That was kind of cool a few chapters ago. A world is full of talented poor people. They must take the time to learn more skills like McDonald's business systems to succeed. Poor dad wanted Robert to become specialized, even though that didn't work out well in his own life. He never understood that the more specialized you become, the more you are trapped and dependent on that specialty. Rich Dad, on the other hand, encouraged Mike and Robert to groom themselves and learn a lot of different areas of business. So there's a couple different things there. So that's kind of what I started talking about at the beginning of the episode today, is look for these opportunities, not just opportunities of business and growing assets, but look for these opportunities to learn. And a lot of times in the workforce right now, not only are you going to, if you start being more curious and trying to take on a little bit more, not only are you going to learn more and be getting paid to do so, people recognize that, managers look for that, and they'll be more likely to look you up for promotions and stuff like that. And again, that really is somewhat at conflict of all the stuff we're reading, but in the short term, an income boost is always a good thing, right? But you do still want to be looking at, you know, mind your own business, right? All right, cool. So Rich Dad, on their hand, encouraged Mike and Robert to groom themselves and learn a lot of different areas of business. For the World War II generation, it was considered bad to skip from company to company. Today, it is considered smart. It enables you to learn more and will pay dividends in the long runs. The main management skills needed for success are, and this is a kind of a write these down kind of thing, guys, but management of cash flow, management of systems, and management of people. And the most important specialized skills are sales and marketing. Because what do we say? Everything is involved with sales. On one level or another, somebody's selling something if you're exchanging money. Communication skills such as writing, speaking, and negotiating are crucial to a life of success. These are skills Robert works on constantly, attending courses or buying educational resources to expand his knowledge. The skills of selling and marketing are difficult for most people, primarily due to their fear of rejection. Big one, especially like door-to-door sales, but you don't have to start there, guys. The better you are at communicating, negotiating, and handling your fear of rejection, the easier life is. Whew, isn't that true? Being technically specialized has its strengths and weaknesses. People in this category must expand their communication skills. Right, and what is important here is, as you can see, he's not saying there's one way to do all these things, right? There's multiple avenues, and I think as you're changing your thinking and your process, your thinking process is just being more aware of these. Like with the example we use of putting the glasses on for the first time, for any of those of you hard of sight, you suddenly start seeing things that are like, obviously they were there all along, but you weren't, you either couldn't or weren't looking in that direction. So those are the kind of things we want to be thinking about here. If you are specialized in something, it doesn't mean, oh, well, I messed up. I'm so specialized. He's not saying that. He's saying, if you are, that's great. Strengths and weaknesses, but expand your communication skills. And then also what he said before, you know, basically completely, you know, understanding business systems and learning more about management and things like that are always good. It's in everything. Sales and marketing, right? It's in everything. We all must learn to be good teachers as well as good students. To be truly rich, we must be able to give as well as receive. I like this a lot, and I wish I talked about it before already. Anybody you want to share this with, guys, I would super, of course, appreciate it to expand our podcast listeners, but also, like, that's kind of the point here of why I'm even doing this. If you feel like someone would be receptive to these, and maybe they've tried to dabble in some of these books before, I'll tell you, throughout my week, I talked to this about 10 people because I have it sitting on my desk, and we get people coming and going, they ask me about it. A lot of people have this book and maybe have had it for some time, but just didn't dive into it for some reason. Maybe they just, it was boring, the prose, the setup. Maybe it was just, they're not very good readers, whatever. But, you know, if we can link more people up together, of course, I'd love you guys listening. But if it's just to get the book and start reading, just expanding minds and expanding the people in your environment, you got to realize you can create teammates out of thin air. Some of the people around you might already know they have like a propensity or they have an interest to come towards these things. And maybe the ones just really, really taught them or really sat them down and said, you know, here's some good information. And I'm not even saying I'm that guy. We're talking about Robert Kiyosaki, right? But I want to learn with you guys too. And I've been speaking as much as I can about these podcasts, you know, without trying to bug people, but speaking as much as I can in these podcasts to other people around me. And if they feel like they're receptive, I'm more than happy to sit down and share words with them because I think we can all teach each other. And I've found the more that I share with you guys, the more of this I kind of read in a different way and I think even understand it better. So appreciate that little rant. Listen to that little rant there. All right. So yeah, let's go again. We all must learn to be good teachers as well as good students. To be truly rich, we must be able to give as well as receive. Oh, I love that. Teaching was one of the ways both Rich Dad and Poor Dad gave to others. Rich Dad also gave money to his church, to charities, and to his foundation. He knew that to receive money, he also had to give it. Poor Dad always said he'd give money if he had extra, but he never had that extra. Rather than give and you shall receive, he believed in receive and then you give. Robert became both dads, both a hardcore capitalist who loves the game of making money and a socially responsible teacher who is deeply concerned with this ever-widening gap between the haves and the have-nots. He holds the archaic educational system primarily responsible for this growing gap. And again, guys, this is true, and it's still true today. However, we got to have a little bit more accountability and realize, obviously, things like this podcast, but way more importantly, the Google is right at your fingertips, you know, web search engines, everything's right there. And if you have the drive to learn, you can learn it, right? I mean, I've changed an alternator. I'm not a huge mechanical, you know, guy, but I've changed an alternator in my car. And who do I turn to first, right? Obviously, my buddy gave me a hand, but we went on YouTube, right? So I guess the point I'm trying to make is, yes, the educational system may be archaic and it might be our primarily responsible problem and we do need to change it. And I think some of us getting a little bit more of this, the people that are thinking like we're thinking, get a little bit more power, that's when we're going to make that change, right? And don't make an excuse. Wherever your school is, whatever your parents told you, you know, I know it's in there, it's rattling around your head, but you have the opportunity now to change your thinking. And hopefully I can be of some help with that too. And the people that we learn from. Okay, so we're doing our brain moments, guys. Here we got Robert says left hemisphere moment. It may not make immediate mathematical sense to leave a promising job for another, but the skills you will gain will lead to greater numbers in the long run. That's one of the tough ones, and that comes back to risk again because we get comfortable, right? Our job gets a little more cush, you get paid a little bit more, and you really think about it, it ends up just being, you know, drops in the bucket for a lot of these corporations. It's not to say don't be ambitious at your job, but keep reaching beyond. Right hemisphere moment. Learning skills outside what you think of as your profession will benefit you. So that's kind of just saying, you know, things that maybe are out of left field. Obviously, complementary skills are good because they're probably going to help you to do better at your current job. And they're also probably going to help you, you know, they're going to be easier to grasp onto because they relate to what you do so much of the week at your job, right? We spend a lot of time at work. But what it's saying is try to get, and this comes back to that fear a little bit, try learning some skills that have nothing to do with your job, he's saying here, outside of what you think of as your profession. And then subconscious moment. The situation you fear most is a skill that you need to learn and conquer. You may have to force yourself to do it, though, like going to the gym. You'll be glad you did. And I hope that one hits home for a lot of people. I can say myself, gym buddy, accountability buddy, like we talked about, helps here. It does help at the gym. I've always felt that way. If you have somebody to help you, of course, grab them on and get down there. But even if you'd have to force yourself to go alone, it's so rare do you regret going, right? Way more often you regret not going. So it's weird though, isn't it? Because we still don't go. We even know that information. We still, a lot of time, we don't go. So let's try to practice on getting ourselves there to our financial gym. And, you know, if it's with me, that's great. Again, I'm trying to get one of these out every day. But just have it in your normal life, right? Maybe you don't have time to listen to a podcast, but just pull it into your life. Okay, cool. So we got through that. We're going to hit a couple of Robert's sayings. That'll probably be it for today. So job security meant everything to my educated dad. Learning meant everything to my rich dad. So, you know, it's kind of funny because they almost sound like, you know, counterintuitive in a way, right? His educated dad's the one that cares about the job security, and learning meant everything to my rich dad. But as you can probably tell, like, rich dad's view or what he chose to have around him was not like traditional education, right? That's not what he valued. And he obviously became very successful and what it seems like turned into quite a philanthropist too. So I know for a lot of us, hopefully that's kind of where we're headed, right? So learning meant everything and we're on the right path, right? We're here. I'm constantly shocked at how little talented people earn. Yeah, he actually made a point. I'm going to go back and try to find it real quick. But the point was basically about his engine. He had to go into a mechanic. So here we go. A few days ago, my car was not running well. I pulled into a garage and the young mechanic had it fixed in just a few minutes. He knew what was wrong by simply listening to the engine. I was amazed. I am constantly shocked at how little talented people earn. I have met brilliant, highly educated people who earn less than $20,000 a year. So this one kind of hits home because, and I'm sure hopefully, and I think it will hit home with a lot of you, because you've probably felt like this at some point in your life as the mechanic, right? And Robert's right here. I mean, there are probably skills that you have, like this mechanic has here, but having that much info, right, you know, just from listening. Robert's stunned because he's more or less saying this guy has better talents than me. And obviously there's no sense in comparing them. They're different, but he's saying like, this is like mind blowing that this guy can do this. And he would probably say the same about Robert. Right. So, and it's not to say, hey, you became the best mechanic. Like we talked about earlier, you can specialize, but keep expanding. What's the next step? Where's my next stage? Cool. There's an old cliche that goes, job is an acronym for just over broke. Unfortunately, that applies to millions of people. Yeah, it's part of why we're here. I recommend to young people to seek work for what they will learn more from what they will earn. That's especially good for young people, I think. Obviously, a lot of us, when we get a little bit older, think people have families and stuff like that. And you do get a little bit more of a liability as far as that goes, financial liability at least. So that is even more important, I think, when you're young, because a lot of you, like, you don't take advantage of the, not sounding so accusatory, but you don't take advantage of the fact that you're living with free rent. You know, it's just kind of more like a bother that your parents are around. And I get it. Trust me. I get it. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be putting some away. Put some away for getting out of there, but also put some away to start investing. And the earlier you start, the better, right? About the trade and everything. I won't say it again, but you guys get my point by now. Just do it. And if you got to get on one of these apps or something, just start on the investment side. There's some pretty cool ones out there. Okay. Life is much like going to the gym. The most painful part is deciding to go. Once you get past that, it's easy. Yeah. Kind of went through that already. The world is filled with talented poor people. All too often, they're poor or struggle financially or earn less than they are capable of. not because of what they know, but because of what they do not know. Yeah, I get that. I get that. And I've been there. And I think that's kind of why we're all here right now. We're going to get it though, guys. Being technically specialized has its strengths as well as its weaknesses. Yeah, and like you said, I think that the unions, I don't know a lot about unions, so I don't want to just talk without really knowing what I'm talking about. But he did make a point to say, if you are highly specialized, unions are probably a way to go. I feel like you're probably more likely to be, paid correctly and things like that in a union. So those of you out there who know a lot about it, if you want to reach out to me, I'll drop it in the next episode. But but it's saying strength and weaknesses. So it's not saying it's a bad thing. It's not saying it's a good thing. Now he's saying diversify your knowledge, right? So generally speaking, that means you're not going specialized. But if you are, that's fine. Just start building on the other things. Like he said, communication and then sales and marketing. And his last quote here for the chapter is, giving money is the secret to most great wealthy families. Giving money is the secret to most great wealthy families. And I really believe this. And I think a lot of the times we think of like this Scrooge McDuck character that only cares about his pile of gold and not about anybody else. And truthfully, I think that's kind of a shame to really think of that as like the rich person, right? Especially if we're trying to get there ourselves. You got to almost, to get there, imagine yourself in that seat already or on that pile of gold, right? But giving it out, hopefully, right? I'm not saying everybody who becomes successful or everybody who's hearing this right now has to become a philanthropist, but maybe your microcosm's a little smaller and it's more of like your family, maybe your neighbors, stuff like that, friends. And that's cool too. I think the important thing though is just to be, kind of open. It's kind of what the chapter told me, is be kind of more open to new things, open to learning. And, like the homework side of it, I guess, if you want to call it, guys, is what I said at the beginning. Look around you, your current life, with changing nothing, right? Same routine, same thing. Get up, have breakfast, get dressed, go to work. Same thing, nothing changed. Start looking around you for these opportunities that are already in your life and maybe you're ignoring. Maybe it's a manager, you think, oh yeah, they're pretty cool, but whatever. I'm hanging out with this different group. But maybe ask them a couple questions when you get a chance, right? Maybe say, hey, how did you get in this? And even more important, if you can, I'm talking general manager and owner, if you can get a sit down with them, hey, I'd like to imagine that. I can't even imagine. I mean, for me, if someone sat me, and I've been a manager, if someone sat me down and said, hey, can I have a little bit of your time? I just want to go through some of the stuff. I'd be more than happy to. I'd be honored to. You know what I mean? And like Rich Dad said, he went through, at that point, I think he was 15 some years in business. And obviously at the point we're talking about now, much longer, but he was saying 15 years and no one had ever asked him, right? And again, are they exaggerating for the book? Maybe, but I believe it. I believe it. I believe that probably very few, if not next to none. And it's a shame because a lot of people around you already have some good stories to tell and they can help you. And I know some of this is like what your parents don't teach you. So your parents were bad, blah, blah. I'm sure some of you have learned some great things from your parents. Just keep them within the framework of what we're learning from Robert. Everything with a grain of salt, right, guys? Very cool. All right. So that's it for today. I want to thank you guys again for coming in. Listening, feedback, everything. It's been a blessing. And I got a really cool phone call last night and talked to one of my friends for about an hour and a half. And he told me so much about the things that the podcast has kind of got him thinking on. And that's kind of why we're here. And again, I just really appreciate you listening in. So once again, this is Here's Me Podcast with Mike Petrullo. And I hope you guys have a good weekend.